The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network where sports betting lives. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Barcanada at the D, the barrage, for those listening in Spanish. Kelly, I'm going to say it again. The McDonald's here closes because Derek Stevens plotted for its demise. It's closing at the end of next week, and I refuse to work here anymore after its closing. I'll give them a one-week grace period.
It's very nice of you.
Thank you.
Very kind of you.
Thank you very much.
I'm okay. I'm ready for the McDonald's to be gone.
Are you?
Yeah.
Because it's just bad for us? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, not that. Not that. I agree with Derek.
Oh, I kind of agree with Derek, too, because I witnessed something in there that now I get why Derek wants to close.
Yeah.
We had tweets at Beating the Book. By the way, this hour, we're going to talk MLB best record, because you can bet on that right now at DraftKings, among other spots. Steve Fezzik will join us in studio. Will Hill standing by. We get tweets. Good friend, Chillionaire. Gil proceeds with the earthquake. If it hits you in the right spot, it does feel... Oh, I'm not going to read the rest of that. He thought I was talking about something else.
Corbin, I saw that tweet earlier.
Corbin, sorry. I really shouldn't Ron Burgundy
through this. You know Ron Burgundy.
Corbin, have the morning off, so want to... Went to watch you guys on Game Plus. I don't know if it's because I'm up north or what, but you guys today were replaced by some horrible game show. I've never wanted to switch the channel so fast. Who the hell do I talk to about this? I don't know. We have to call Game Plus.
How dare they?
Oh, and then everybody, I made the comment about the Pirates. Would the Pirates really do that to their fan base? Oh, we have Pittsburgh folks. We have Yinzers tweeting up. Steelers guy says, Bob Nutting will want that. By the way, that's the name of the Pirates owner, for those of you who missed it. Robert Nutting, will 100% shut down Skeens. Guy does not care about the fans at all, and he's made his money this year off of him already. Numbers guys, it's great to have Kelly back, and he's in the Keep the Conversation Going Twitter promo. Let's keep it going. Let's keep the hashtag going. It's making a difference. Save Kelly. He really thought I was being serious. Brandon Kyles, not only would Bob Nutting do that to the Pirates fans, shut down Skeens, we expect it. And then Ben McGovern went the other way. He said, MLB teams get incentives for their players winning rookie of the year. Pirates get extra first round pick if Skeens wins. I doubt they'll shut him down. And then Chris of St. Bart's, any plans yet for Dr. Bob to be on and talk college football season wins and previews? Absolutely. Problem is when I asked Bob, hey, can you come on this week? He's like, "Yo, I'm still working on it. I'll be on the show when it's all marinated and ready to go." Like, okay, Bob.
So Bob, you've been pressuring him every other day about it?
That's right. That's okay. So Bob will be on just when Bob is ready to come on. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. He was kind enough to have me on it the other day. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line at not the Will Hill. That's with two E's on the V on Twitter. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Will?
Illy, what's going on? You're kind of upending my segment here because now nobody's going to care what I think. People want to know what happened in the McDonald's. I think that's what's on the tip of everyone's mind here.
Oh, I just think that Derek is always named. Derek never likes food establishments within his own.
Gotcha.
Casinos.
Okay. You made it seem like something nefarious was going on or something.
A dude walked up to, they have all the people's prepared foods. They've been waiting for their foods. And a dude walked out from the street and just grabbed it and just walked out. And then it was a whole thing.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all it was. All right. We have a lot to talk about. Will, Kelly and I were, doing our thing off air. We're just hamming it up. And Will goes, hey, I have this and I have that and I have this. I'm like, okay, Will.
We were talking about important things like Lenny Kravitz probably again or something. I don't even know.
Will, did you see the Giants lost by another run in the 10th inning last night for the second night in a row to the Braves? Did you see that? I'm curious.
Would this be the San Francisco Giants?
Yeah, it would be them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not very happy. Funny, they hadn't gotten a mention. I promised you that we were going to talk about the Giants. I really thought they were going in the right direction. I think they were a game and a half out heading into the Atlanta series. They had Atlanta on their home field. They lost a one-run game Sunday to the Tigers. Then it carried over where they lost, I think, what's three in a row now, all one-run games.
All one run.
All sort of coin flip games. And now, yeah, man. Can you call this a must-win tonight? Because if they lose they're suddenly five back of Atlanta in the loss column. So, man, it's just such a weird season, such an up-and-down season. I think they kind of need the win to stay in. And I thought with Snell back on track and Robbie Ray back, Birdsong's an arm I like, Logan Webb, I was like, man, a game and a half out, wide open if they get in. They were like 120-1 on Monday. It's just so quickly where Hey, you lose a couple coin flip games, couldn't score a run on Monday, lose the bad game to the Tigers, and all of a sudden you're like kind of playing for your season. Like, just such a strange season. Even a team like Philly, who lost 13 out of 17, they got back on track, won that last game against Seattle, won like 4 out of 6 or something. All right, they're good. Atlanta's not playing well. This division's over. This division's been over, then it gets close, and it's been over again. You look up, and I know 6 is a nice lead, but it's only 6. You figure, and I'm somebody with Philly to win the division. 6 back is not insurmountable. They still play head-to-head 7 times. The Braves have the Angels coming up for a few games. So I don't know, maybe just it's that nervous thing when you have a ticket and you're just thinking of ways it can lose. But I'd feel a lot better if I had more than a 6-game lead if I'm Philly. And just you mentioned best record in baseball. I follow this stuff every day, bet it every day. I would have had no idea the Cleveland Guardians had the best record, which I think they do right now. It's just, and they just lost 7 in a row. So I don't know if you can make sense of this season. It's almost like an NFL season where every Sunday you look up and the good teams are struggling. You say, I don't know what to make of any of these teams. It's just so all over the place.
This is the most, again, not trying to be prisoner of the moment, but it feels like the most all over the place, no distinct favorite baseball season I can ever remember on August 14th. Right? Like, I just, who's, you and I had this discussion on your podcast on Should Have Bet More. Who's, yeah. if the Phillies hadn't had the swoon, maybe I would have put them above the fray. Like, I'd see them going to the playoffs because we've seen it before. Citizens Bank goes crazy. They have that lineup. They have the starting pitching, but even them, like, I just don't know who's dominant. Nobody. What about an MLB pick for today?
I took Kansas City on the first 5. Cole Reagan's going against Varland. Varland's been awful. It's a small sample size. It's only like 30 innings. But a 6 ERA expected, or expected ERA for Varland, like a 290 expected batting average. He's gotten hit really hard. I know the Royals splits on the road are not nearly as good as they are at home, but Reagan's has been pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. And I'll take the Royals in the first 5. I like betting these first 5 where, hey, if it's 2-2 after 5, I don't want to play the bullpen game. I don't want to go to extra innings with the ghost runner stuff. Just give me my refund. I'll go about my way. And I want to really handicap the starting pitchers. Plus, I don't have to spend time handicapping the bullpen, which I think is valuable to save you time. You know, if you're doing this right and you're handicapping the full 9, bullpen's a part of it. And man, who wants to do that? Who has the time for that? I think it's just a much cleaner handicap when you handicap just the first 5. So Kansas City in the first 5 on the money line.
And by the way, as good as the tennis has been going, RIP to my Seth Lugo AL Cy Young ticket last night. Seth Lugo and Tarek Skubal both going for their 14th win of the season. And Lugo goes 4 innings and gives up 7 earned runs on 9 hits. And then Skubal does the Skubal thing. So Skubal's like a $7 favorite overnight, just like that.
Yeah. Are we at the point where unless he gets hurt, he's going to win? Is it just against an injury at this point?
I think so. I do. Yeah. Because I think that's all it took. It was one of these nights where it just goes seismically in one direction. Right. And yeah.
Who knows? Skubal can blow up a couple times in a row, and we think of things differently. But barring something catastrophic, even if he just goes out 6 innings, 2 or 3 runs a couple times, stays healthy, it's that kind of thing where he just has to, not double bogey, triple bogey some of these holes, and he's going
to
be fine.
The Royals are the Giants of the American League to me, too. It's like, are you guys going to get in? If you can get in, this is going to be great. But like, are you going to get in? They can't seem to get it together. Okay. NFL, week 2 preseason. We have Steve Fezzik coming on in a bit. You have any plays?
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure if this is the Steve Fezzik trend or a Dr. Bob trend. It's hard to keep track of, who originated this, but this is a good one. I'm sure he'll talk about it. 0-1 teams versus 1-0 teams.
Dr. Bob.
Usually, yeah, okay. So I know Fez has talked about it. I'm sure he's giving Dr. Bob his proper credit.
Oh, I'm sure. But yes.
We do have one situation. Panthers, Jets. Panthers are getting 3.5 against the Jets. Total's 31.5. So you're not looking at a lot of points to begin with. You're getting the 0-1 angle. And look, 3.5 is kind of a lot in a preseason game. Where there was more scoring last week in certain games. It was weird. There was a bunch of low scoring games. Then you had a flood of overs. It was back and forth. So be interesting to keep an eye on the totals. The teasers, the 10-point teasers for anyone that could get them in, they were hit or miss last week. I didn't really track how they did. I know they did three early.
3-3, the bottom 6 total games. Yeah, 3-3.
Yeah, that's a good number. But I did take Carolina plus the 3.5 in the preseason.
Okay. Carolina plus the 3.5. College football, you bet some awards.
These are great. I can't remember books having these in the past. And we were doing this for the Bear Bets pod with Fox, which has been back for a couple weeks now. So I encourage people to check that out. But Mackey Award, Biletnikoff, Doak Walker, I can never remember. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just didn't look for it. But these are awards are up in certain places, offshore, certain jurisdictions. Mackey Award, I went RJ Maryland, tight end from SMU. led or co-led tight ends in touchdowns last year with 7, 6'4", 240. Was a track star in high school. Remember, he's the son of Russell Maryland, top 10 pick, Miami Hurricane, Dallas Cowboys. I think he won like 3 Super Bowls. So I like this SMU team. I like their schedule. I took him, I think, 22-1, 25-1. He's in that range. And then the Doak Walker for best running back, Jordan James for Oregon, like 100 carries last year, over 7 yards a carry, 11 touchdowns on only 100 carries. That's an Oregon team that I think is going to be really good. So these awards are fun. I'll give you one more. The Davey O'Brien for best quarterback. I don't think Miller Moss on USC, his team's not going to win enough games because their schedule is brutal. But you have a Lincoln Riley quarterback. We saw what he could do in the bowl game. And I think they're a lot better overall last year because Caleb Williams did not have a lot to work with. Their receivers, their offensive line, their backs, just their skill guys in general are a lot better this year. I think Miller Moss can put up great stats again. He's probably going to lose 4, 3, 4, 5 games, which will take him out of the mix for Heisman, you would think, but I think he could put up some really good numbers.
You're absolutely right about, like, when – I don't ever remember seeing these markets. Where did you get these?
They're offshore.
Okay.
I know some people have said they have them in their state. Connecticut's one of these weird states where we can't bet college football futures, but sometimes they pop up. I really – and Bear lives in Connecticut. Maybe he can give a straight answer, and I'm sure he goes through the same thing where – the national champion's not up for college basketball, for college football. Sometimes you can bet the conference. Sometimes they're down once the season starts. It's really hard to figure out, but they are up offshore in some other places.
And no Heisman bets for you? Nothing in the Heisman?
It took Dart. It's a trendy one, 15-1. A lot of people seem to be on it. I don't know that there's great value in the Heisman.
Jackson Dart.
Still looking for a number two or number three wide receiver on Ohio State so we can really round out the full backups.
And Felica with all your backup Ohio State.
And Montesano, picks. Yeah.
And Montesano. By the way, if memory serves, Russell Maryland, not just a top 10 pick, the number one pick in the draft, I believe, back in the day when the Cowboys were supposed to pick Rocket and they didn't. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it. Fezzik on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada here at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin in the house. Steve Fezzik standing by. Before we get to Fezzik, because we have lots to talk about with him, so I want to keep on for an extra segment here. Kelly, you wanted to highlight the glorious offseason life of Nikola Jokic.
It's not covered enough, okay? You see some videos on Twitter, but it really needs to be covered more. Obviously, he had the Olympics this year. I thought he looked incredible, in incredible shape for the Olympics, too. That's been an issue with him in the past. But find me a country that loves someone as much as Serbia loves Nikola Jokic. Matt, you could fire up this video whenever you got it ready. This was the Olympic team returning the other day.
Oh, man.
To cut this one, we can hear this courtesy of the Radio Television Network of Serbia.
Look at this guy. This is like, he's like an emperor.
Right, exactly, right? Look at this crowd that's out there. They're about to show it in a second. It is massive. There are fires going. There are flags being waved.
I always feel the urge to set a fire in these situations.
And then I just caught this one on Twitter of Nikola Jokic walking through the streets of Serbia. And these are the gifts that he just gets handed out to him as he walks through the streets. So famous, people love him so much, they're just handing him anything they have. And there's a nice lady.
He's just hanging out. He's walking. He's like, oh, thank you so much.
Here's a bottle of wine, Nikola Jokic.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much. Wow.
Why is there not a documentary crew with him 24-7?
Now there might be.
Going to the horse races. That's all I got. That's your Nikola Jokic update for the
day. Nikola Jokic, off seasons. Wow. Steve Fezzik walks around Vegas. Same thing happens to him. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest, usually on with the great Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson on Sharp Money. We're just borrowing him for a couple weeks. Steve Fezzik, everybody, at Fezzik Sports on Twitter. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I got a business meeting with Kelly right after the show, so we're excited about that.
There's another caper, I like to call them. Caper 2 is happening. We're excited about that. Did Kelly perform very well in caper number 1?
No.
No.
He's got opportunities for improvement.
Oh, wow.
That's why it's my fault. I didn't actively engage him enough, so I take full responsibility.
Okay.
It's my fault.
Let's start with, we have much to talk about. Can we start with, let's see what happened right after that. Fezzik said something. It was a little critical, and after he stopped talking, he just made eye contact just to nod at him, just to make sure everything was okay.
That's right.
That's what happened.
We all good.
Look, he's still staring him down.
My assessment... Kelly, you think my assessment accurate?
That was fair. Yeah, it was fair.
I was not involved. It was fine. It's my fault.
We also learned some things from last
time. I love this so much because I know the both of you, and I know how Steve's brain works, and I know how your brain works, and it is just an accident waiting to happen. I cannot wait. Cannot wait. Okay, Bet Bash. Last week, you were kind enough to come on here. Elihu Foistel was there. He has a brand new book. I noticed that you walked in here with a book that I have never heard of.
This is the secret book.
This is my secret sushi spot, but in a sports book.
It is. So this is Think Like a Pro, Logan Fields, 2020 Betting to Win Sports Betting. Let me see. Sports Betting, Think Like a Pro. And in my opinion, if there was one book that you need to get that will show you how to actually win. Now, Elihu is spectacular. And if you want to study the Poisson distribution and you want standard deviations and you want to be able to take your winning sports game to the next level, talk to Elihu. But if you're just a common man and you want to win betting sports, Logan Fields is your man.
By Poisson, Steve means Poisson. But yes, so 2020, I thought it meant just perfect vision. But he wrote this in 2020.
I was going to ask that.
During the pandemic, which is why probably I've never heard of it. Because I don't know if you know this, but we all went to our separate corners. 2020 sports betting by Logan Fields is his name?
Yes.
Logan Fields. Okay. Is that can Amazon probably has them?
I'm sure it's okay. It's a gambler's.
I'd love to read that.
Bookshop and bottom line is one of my favorite chapters. He talks about he's a golf specialist.
Wow.
And he talks about like John Daly was the gift that kept on giving. Whenever there'd be a tournament in Las Vegas, he would be like, "Oh, if by some miracle Daly does well on Thursday, he will fade because he's going to be out all night, you know, gambling in the different casinos." He talks about under the radar injuries, how there was value betting the field, like in tennis, you never bet the field; the field never wins.
Right.
In golf, the field wins all the time because all these guys are within a stroke and a half as good, you know, as the best guys. But my favorite, he spent tens of thousands of dollars on the Doral Open. He goes to it in person, Kelly. He sees what's this $10 hot dog, but what's this $10 hamburger, but there's a $6.50 hot dog special where you get chips and a Coke, and they give him the 20-ounce Coke. So think about the way this man is programmed.
This guy is your god. You love this.
This guy won $20,000 betting that tournament, but he saved like $8 in EV on his hot dog special.
Literally replaced Logan Fields with the name Steve Fezzik. That's
the real stuff, right? Not the $20,000.
Did you purposely do this for page 136, or are you just aggressive reader?
Page 136 was the hot dog reference, where he got the Nathan's hot dog deal for $6.50.
What is just an aggressive dog-eared?
He folded the page. All right. We got a... This is from earlier in the summer.
$27 on Amazon, by the way.
$27. I'll get that.
Or $10 for your Kindle.
Because, you know, there's a lot of sports betting books, and you want to get the good ones.
Yep.
This is from, I actually got this from Joe Pita, our buddy, early in the summer. And I thought you had he asked this very, very honestly. It's an honest question. And you have a good answer for this. His question was this: NFL scoring has fallen so much that more points were scored in 2020, speaking of 2020, than any of the last 3 years when the season went to 17 games. You know what else has exploded the last 3 years? Going for it on fourth down. Isn't that supposed to be increasing scoring instead of punting?
Not necessarily. So it all depends where you go for it on fourth down. Let's say you're midfield, fourth and inches, all right? You desperately want the team to go for it because who cares if they make it or not? The other team's going to get the ball midfield instead of punting, and you're on the ball. You got the ball on the 12-yard line. But where it gets dicey, you have fourth and one on the 18-yard line. So you're just into that red zone. Okay, it's correct to go for it. And maybe you got fourth and two on like the 10-yard line in the red zone. It's correct to go for it. But the problem is, although your expectation for that drive gets better in terms of the team's chance of winning,
it does
not increase the scoring because when you're going to fail half the time, and when you fail, it is a double bum because you lose 3 points. And your opponent's not going to get the ball anymore, you know, on the 25 or further, your opponents can start on their own 15-yard line
Makes
or their
sense.
12. So it is a disaster when it's a failed fourth down convert.
Makes sense. And as Drew was saying earlier, it's, you know, it's never one thing, but that's probably the biggest thing what you're talking about. But it was also very an unstable quarterback situation last year, for instance. Wasn't really a great crop. That's a great answer.
This year, Bo Nixon's going to be styling out there. He's going to be way better than Young was last year.
Oh, let's go to Will just brought this up in the last segment. This is a Dr. Bob thing, and I know you wanted to talk about this. And I've been talking about this for years, but I specifically couch it by saying when it used to be four preseason games, Bob had this great thing where if you lost week one and you're going up against a team that won week one, the team that lost, and this makes, you know, we're not a trend show, but this makes intuitive sense. The team that lost did really well ATS against the team that had won the previous week coming into week two. You still do this when it's only a 3-week preseason? You still do it?
Yes. I mean, maybe it's not going to be as strong, but nevertheless, by the way, Dr. Bob, sports betting pioneer.
He doesn't like it, though. He likes legend.
That's right. He's a humble man. He doesn't like pioneer.
Pioneer makes him sound old, Stevie. He likes legend.
Pioneer implies you're Daniel Boone or Davy Crockett, right?
That's right.
By the way, Dr. Bob, let me check. Still not in the sports betting Hall of Fame. Okay.
Sports betting Hall of Fame thing has you riled up, doesn't it?
No, it's fine. I'm just documenting. Okay. So it makes sense. No one. These games don't matter, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you win or lose, but nobody wants to go 0-3, to go winless in preseason.
That's the theory.
Right. And you know what? If you're 0-1, now you're like, well, that last game, I really don't want to care about it all. I really want to just keep everyone healthy. So I don't want that 0-2 black cloud over me. So let's try to win the second game. Whereas if I'm 1-0, all right, we're not going to go winless. And now we can more evaluate talent. So it just makes sense to me. I very rarely would ever fade a team that was 0-1 playing a 1-0 team.
See, I don't know that Bob does it anymore because with the 4 weeks, again, it used to be a pretty uniform structure of how teams would play it personnel-wise. With three, everybody's kind of all over the place, so I think he backed off it a little. But I still get the theory. The theory is still that, and I would say this too, particularly for younger teams, right?
Exactly.
Where you want to give them the feeling of, the feeling of a win. That this would apply. It's very intuitive. You know, just say you want to get a win under a belt. They want to give them the feeling of a win. So we'll see how it goes here in week two. But you are playing it. Which games does that apply
to? So there's five games, and I'll rank them. So number one, Cleveland. So Cleveland's already steamed upwards, and now they're a 3-point favorite. Also, Washington, Carolina, the Chargers, and the 49ers. Carolina would be my favorite because they were so bad last week and they were so bad last year. You have to feel they are going to circle the wagons and try to win.
And they'd like to see some good Bryce Young play on top of that.
I'd like to just see him play.
And just see him play, let alone good. Steve Fezzik on a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Steve Fezzik doesn't need a proxy because he's in town. But if you're out of town, got to come here before the season to sign up for these. But then once the season starts and you're back to your house, back wherever in the United States or beyond, you need a proxy. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy partner. You can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Million contest featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner Circle Proxy, now in its ninth year, providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including both Survivor and Million winners last year. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's Ultimate Contest Weekend from August 22nd to the 24th. It's packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to VSiN Pro, stadium swim passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to WinnerCircleProxy.com now and book your appointment. Again, that's WinnerCircleProxy.com, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Steve Fezzik, kind enough to hang out with us. What did I want to say about this? Oh, remember that documentary? Did I talk about this yesterday, Kelly, at all? The documentary that's supposed to come out about last year's Survivor contest, remember?
We started talking about it.
We started, and then we just went off.
Because I don't know that you, or I heard you say those words,
it
is coming out.
So I said, it is coming out, and I said...
I feel like you guys shot like three of them for like 400 hours and none of it got used. But.
Brian Musburger says to me, he goes, it's either going to be on Netflix or on VSiN. He said, no difference there. That's what he said to me. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing. Todd Wishnev is part of it, so I'm excited to see his.
There you go. Same audience size, both of those websites.
Either Netflix or VSiN. Steve Fezzik, kind enough to hang with us. We talked week two preseason about the Dr. Bob thing, which is if you're coming off a loss versus a team coming off a win. Steve, if you could repeat those five games, because we did them real quick at the end.
Cleveland, these are the teams. So these are your betting teams. So the Browns, Washington, Carolina, the Chargers, and the 49ers. Now, I always have a personal bias with this trend to play the underdogs, and that, of course, would land you on Carolina and the 49ers.
Okay, Carolina and 49ers. The other three were Cleveland, Washington, and
the Chargers.
The Chargers, but Carolina and Washington fit your optimal. Okay.
I'm always trying to like reverse engineer the Dr. Bob secret subset. You know, well, seems like the dogs were more, you know, powerful.
He's the guy. Just for those who don't know what Steve is referring to, he will give you a set. From again, he has the Buckeye database. So Bob does his handicapping two ways. In tandem, one is his mathematical model, which is all his layers that he's put together through the years, taken in, taken out, like tried and true. And then he does what he calls, pardon me, technical analysis, which is a fancy way of saying trends. And most people, and we're not a trend show, but most people, they get upset about trends. But Bob has the Buckeye database, which goes back to 1978. And some trends, nothing is black and white. Nothing is 100% on this. Some trends make intuitive sense. And when you talk about preseason from week one to week two, that actually does make some sense. And so we like to highlight it. The other thing we referenced you earlier in the week about week two is you texted this immediately. You banged all the overs.
Yes.
Explain.
Well, two things going on. So I know week two and preseason pre-COVID, and it should be post-COVID, is going to be higher scoring. It just makes sense. The defenses are ahead of the offenses, and oftentimes the starters don't play at all that first preseason game, or at most they play one series. So what's this? I wake up all groggy Monday morning, and I'm looking at the totals, and they're anywhere from 33 to 37. I'm like, it's just too low. Now, subsequently, I did the research, but I didn't have time to do the research. So I played every game over because I was busy. And I was like, the numbers are wrong. I'm just going to hammer it. And so I got down, but I went back and looked. So last year, there was the point of demarcation was 39.5. Half the games went over 39.5. Half of them went under 39.5. This is week two preseason. So think about this. Even with these totals having risen up, every total now is still sub 40. Every single one. They vary from 33, the Charger game, up to 39.5. Half of them went over the 39.5. Now, there were four that were fiddling in the middle, 36, 36, 38, 39. And there were four of the games, one-fourth of the games, just dead nut unders, 32 or less. So the bottom line is, even at the current numbers, with the new kickoff rules, which I personally have forecasted, it's going to increase scoring, not 3 points, but by 1.5 points. I heard you talking to Drew about this. The field position is going to be significantly and help the team, you know, receiving a kickoff. The problem with that is that even if you say it's worth an extra third of a point on that possession to get the ball in the 30 on average or close to it, and you multiply by 10 kickoffs, you say that's 3.3 points. Well, it's only worth that if you score on the drive. If you punt, it's a negative expectation because now the other team gets worse field position. So you really have to dial that back considerably from that 3.3.
Okay, so this is a nice little preseason microcosm. But once we get to the regular season, again, we talked to Drew about this earlier. How many weeks, assuming you feel like it's going that the books are not going to be up to snuff right from the beginning on this, how many weeks do you think it will take for the market to get in line with what totals ought to be?
What a great question. And I have to caveat the answer. It depends. And what does it depend on? The preseason this week and next week, because we've had a situation where almost 75% of the games went over the total week one preseason. I'm under the total. We had a very low scoring first week. If that happens again, the books are going to be very slow to catch up. All right. If we have like all heck breaks loose, which I hope it does this week, and we have a really high scoring week two of preseason, you're going to see pressure on a lot of the games week one of the regular season, and they're going to start to get hit over immediately.
Okay, so that then begs this question. Would you rather cash big this week doing your overs, or would you rather take a smaller hit just so that you can exploit it greater come regular season?
I'd rather take the money right now. Here's why. The problem is that I agree completely with Drew, but I don't like banging week one and week two overs. It's historically, it's a lower scoring time in the NFL. I think the really clever way to get at this is look at these games of the year where there's totals up and bet overs in October and November. Now, I know you're tying up your money. By the way, can I borrow some money? I'm kind of all in with a whole bunch of bets already. But I think Drew said, I think if you played every game the first week of November over, I'm much more confident you're going to win than playing every game week one over.
It's going to be very interesting with this. Going to be very interesting to see.
Books were slow to react though last year, right? On when it was all the unders coming in, right, Steve? I mean that was pretty shocking last year when it felt like under every week we were seeing.
It's a great point about how it started last year. Also, remember there was and we hate to do this because we wait all year for football season and so we feel terrible about making this comment. But remember early in the season last year, I don't know if it was weeks 2 and 3 or 3 and 4, but we actually came in here on a Monday. And it was kind of universally agreed, but I remember Drew was saying, oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. There was a couple Sundays where it actually felt like work watching those games because the games were so bad.
If I recall the Grand Salami where you bet the total points, it was like every week was going under week after, even into week 5, 6, 7. And to give the bookmakers credit, the public loves betting over. So it's not unusual just by even the pros are betting unders. They're still
cleaning up.
Parlay liability. Think about it. Every parlay is going to lose on totals from the public, and they're just making profits left and right.
Did you want to tell folks about this? This is a little off subject, but you want to talk about exploiting promotions. Yeah, an experience.
And stacking promotions. I love stacking multiple promotions. Let me give an example. So I got back from Lake Tahoe. Love Lake Tahoe. So went up there. I'm a 7-star. At Caesars. So
the sky is so clear in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, the water's so clear. And so you get a retreat. And on the retreat, you get airfare up to $1,200. So, of course, the family flies business select, $1,199. They pick you up in a limo. It's all part of your annual retreat. So you limo. I mean, who needs a limo in Vegas? I mean, maybe Derek Stevens will send me one, but I doubt it. Maybe if I'm with GRP, with George, he would. But I limo from Reno to Tahoe. Now, that is value. I mean, that's a good hour trip.
That's an hour drive. Wow.
Oh, at least. Yeah. And and you get a $500 food credit. So we ate at Hell's Kitchen and a Friday Station and a Sage Room overlooking the lake, used the $500 up. But we're going there. All right. We're going to use a retreat. 10-time tier credit. I want to keep my 7-star. So 10-time tier credit. Normally, if you put through, $20,000, you get 2,000 on a video poker machine, you get 2,000 in tier credits. Now you get 20,000 in tier credits. Again, so you stack. You do everything to take advantage of promos like that more than one at a time.
This is a personal question. I hope you don't mind that I'm asking in front of all these listeners. But does your wife ever say to you, Stevie? I assume she calls you Stevie sometimes. No, never. Does she say, Stevie, can we take a proper vacation where actual money comes out of your pocket as an expression of love to me? Like, enough of this exploiting, the holes in the system so that we can enjoy our lives. I want a true expression of romance.
We went to Disney World in Orlando, and we went to Universal Studios in Orlando. So we had a mega super expensive vacation. Nothing comped.
Is part of this, though, what we were talking about earlier, where it's like, hey, honey, let's have this great trip because for the next 4 months, I'm not going to be available.
The whale capper nailed that one.
He did nail that one.
He's on top of that.
But Stevie does have a bone to pick with the whale capper. We'll talk about that on the other side.
Oh,
it's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It is a numbers game. Live from Bar Canada at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest in history, kind enough to join us. He's usually on Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson. We're borrowing him here in the preseason. Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you. You went two entire segments without mentioning that you and I played tennis yesterday. We played two of what we call our sets up to 21. It was 17-17 in the first. I, of course, then coughed up the next 4 points, and Stevie beat me. And then in
but the wind, bro.
Oh, it was really windy out there.
Wind.
And he
had to battle through the elements.
And Fezzik, because he's game theory, right? He got the good side on the second half of that. but then the second game, I had a match point on him, 20-19. And of course, I completely gacked it, and he beat me 20.
Is there any 20. Money on these games?
No. No. But he's what a gracious man. He didn't bring it up.
Yeah, he didn't.
He's about, still not. He's about to be not gracious with some other people, though.
Before I do that, for all those who might be still not just young at heart, but young, I'm on the wrong side of 60. So every time I can play tennis with Gilly or my son, I appreciate it. And Gilly sees me like I'm slumped against the fence when I'm done. It's like I'm spent.
I asked him afterwards, when is the next time we're playing? He's like, I have no idea.
I go on the DL like after each match. So if you're still able bodied and you want an excuse, like you're in your 40s, you know, it's like hey, you know, time passes you by, and when you blink, and all of a sudden you're not going to be able to do the things that you want to do. So take advantage.
Did Steve just say he's older than 60?
Yeah, he is. Look at that hair. God. Full head of hair. Older than 60.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Real quick before we get back to you, Steve, because I teased this earlier, MLB best record. You can actually bet this at DraftKings and other places. Dodgers are the short shot, plus 180. Yankees plus 275. Orioles plus 370. Phillies plus 450. Everybody that you would think would be at the top. The Guardians are plus 750. By the way, if you look at the current MLB standings, and again, just about a quarter of the year. We're at the quarter pole, almost exactly at the quarter pole as the teams round the bend here. If you look at the standings right now, it's kind of a scrum at the top. And now my computer's not working, so I can give you the exact numbers on these. But if I'm betting this, Kelly, I go deeper down and I go to the Arizona Diamondbacks at 45-1.
I fully endorse this one. And think about how good this is. If you could bet Arizona to win the division, and I imagine the number, Kelly, maybe you could look it up, is around 8-1. All right. If you told me right now, correlated parlay, you can parlay, or how likely is it if Arizona wins their division, they'll have the best record in baseball? I would literally say fitty-fitty.
I agree.
Somewhere around that, because if they catch the Dodgers and they beat the Padres, they're going to be like 20. It's going to take like 24 games above 500. And I think that's going to be sufficient to beat the Yankees and beat the Orioles and beat I don't think any of these teams are going to get. That's kind of the baseline of where they're going to get to, like 96 wins.
Absolutely. Right now. Yeah. It's Dodgers 71-49. Sorry, Kelly, were you about to just say this?
No,
I'm sorry.
8-1 to win the division. You were spot on with that, Steve. And then they have the 11th toughest remaining schedule.
11th toughest remaining schedule. But here's where it stands now. Dodgers 71-49, Guardians 71-49, Yankees and Orioles both. Oh, excuse me, Yankees 71-50, Orioles 70-50, Phillies 69-50. Those are the best teams. You know what the Diamondbacks are? 68-53. We have a quarter of the season left. 45-1. Give me that.
I like it. I like it.
All right. Sorry about that. All right. So Drew came on earlier, and we were talking about Jaden Daniels, and you were not happy about this conversation.
Yeah, well, here's what happens. When you're in the media, you're paid to have opinions on things, all right? So Drew has an excellent opinion. Jaden Daniels was styling, played very well. He's on top of it. We want to be looking to invest in Jaden Daniels. Fantastic. And I know you just invested in Jaden Daniels.
I did. There was a stray number here.
Yeah, so you grabbed 7-1.
7-1, Jaden Daniels, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Now, there's been a move at a lot of books, and they're as low as plus 450.
Plus
and you ask through, is plus 450 okay? And this question gets asked throughout sports betting media everywhere. And universally, the answer is, it's more often than not. Oh, yeah, I'd still play that.
This drives you crazy.
That answer is wrong. It is wrong. It could be right if you bet 150-1 and still 120-1.
He just took a pin and put an X.
It was just an X. Yeah.
And nobody could see it.
That's all you were missing.
Yeah. If you bet Goff MVP at 40-1, and is he still good at 28-1? Of course not. I mean, the bottom line is, if the truth is, if all of these other bets were that. Had such high positive expectation, the sports books would go broke. I mean, there's just the bottom line is that futures, my friend Brad Feinberg taught me this. Futures bets, actually, I used to poo-poo them. Mm-hmm. They're actually wildly profitable if you're on top of it, but you've got to get in and get the 7-1 on the Jaden Daniels the day after or right after he plays really well, you can't be playing plus 450.
And the point you're trying to make is that even if Jaden Daniels goes on and you know, midway through the season, let's say he becomes like this wildly big favorite and he ends up winning the Rookie of the Year, it is not the result that matters to what Steve is saying. It is the fact that if you exhibit that behavior, getting the lesser of the number over and over again, you will be negative EV over the course of everything.
Because the truth is Jaden Daniels probably has somewhere between a 15 and a 20% chance of winning. And given that 7-1 is outstanding and 4.5-1 is insufficient.
Yeah. I tried not moving it by, you know, going a little under a dime and it still ticked a little.
It's just, do you use your player's card?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, stayed incognito. Ooh. Also, Kelly and we and some Jeff Benson and his folks. They're watching you. They're paying attention.
I don't know. Moved a little bit. Moved a little bit.
Yeah. I caught a note from Steve the other day. I'm sorry. Were you finished?
No, I'm done. Yeah.
Conversation. The on the Even Money podcast with Ross Tucker. Great podcast. Check it out. Steve Fezzik does it every week with Ross. Hey, Steve, what do you have the difference between Deshaun Watson and one Jameis Winston?
I have them right around 1 point.
Oh, I thought you were going to say absolutely nothing like you did on the podcast.
He backed off.
He backed off.
Okay.
He took some incoming on it.
Well, I actually looked at my numbers. So the bottom line is that they asked all the odds makers and they had it at 3.1 points. And I was like, I'm not even sure that Watson's better, you know, than Jameis Winston. But certainly not. The line's not moving a field goal if Watson's not playing. I know he was fantastic at Clemson and in his rookie year, but he is like it's been years since I've seen him play good football, right?
Since we have you for another 3 minutes, is there anybody else you want to say something negative about that you wanted to kill?
Yes, I do. smartest guy in gambling, Rufus Peabody, tremendous sports bettor, not in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame.
Yep. Not in the Sports Betting Hall of Fame.
But I was talking to Rufus, and he said, "Oh, I just played golf at Angel Park, which is a locals' favorite, but it's like a value, not so nice." And I said, "But what now, Rufus? You're a 7-star. Why didn't you just play Cascada or Rio Seco? You're comped. You get to play, you know, 2 free rounds. You know, first half of the year and the second half of the year." And he had this sick look in his face, like he'd just eaten bad chicken. And he said, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, it's right on the website." And it's like, "Oh, I didn't know." So we got to work on Rufus's comp wizardry. But you know what? No matter how smart you are, Kelly and I were talking, and I'm such an idiot. I completely missed something in terms of, you know, a promo that we're doing together, and I just feel like the dumbest man in America because of it.
Yeah. Hey, we learned after time one.
What did Stevie miss? What did he miss?
Just some fine print stuff.
Oh, okay. So even you. Even you can miss something.
But nothing we would have known ahead of time. It was nothing you could have known
until he didn't get it till you just told him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the point is, and this is really, you know, going back to my man here, think like a pro, Logan Fields. There's stuff that's obvious that nobody does. And then once you learn about it, you're like, why haven't I been doing this?
You just try to buy it. It's out of stock at Amazon.
What's that?
Yeah.
I tried to buy it. It's now out of stock at Amazon.
Monsanto has an extra copy. He's literally sending us an extra copy.
Ask Monsanto if he has Beyond Counting by Grosjean. It's like it goes for like $1,000 now. It's like it tells you how to beat like the big six wheel and 3-card poker and like exploiting casino misdeals of things. It's fantastic.
Last thing, 30 seconds. DraftKings came out yesterday and they said, by the way, did you get that stray email from DraftKings too? They were sending out random emails to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They completely had a glitch in their system.
Which I definitely didn't text anybody about and should have. Okay,
an email to like every human being that's ever been had an account there, even for us VEASAN with our contest.
How'd you figure that out?
Because I saw in my inbox that I had some weird DraftKings email, like, "Hey, that Dead Heat you were involved in." I'm like, "What? I can't even bet at DraftKings. What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
And apparently they sent it to thousands. But they decided, so FanDuel's not doing it. So DraftKings is like, "Yeah, we decided upon further review, we're not going to do
so
this."
Get this. After
3% thing.
After 50 years, so when you do a 3% surcharge, famously it's like laying -113.6. So don't think about the -100. Think about like if you're betting to win 100, you're being charged $10 a vig. That's been the case for 50 years.
Yeah.
50 years, and they wanted to raise it from $10 to $13.60. Shocker. that isn't going
to
work.
They're still going to try to weasel it into like same game parlays now, right? They should have done it quietly that way before.
Yes.
I'm sure they'll try that. Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure. Steve Fezzik, current Las Vegas Invitational Champion, awaiting Todd Wishnev to show up so he can play him. Thank you. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.